Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, and welcome to Backyard Labrish. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to the backyard. Here, each week at 8 o'clock, we pretend that we are on the beautiful island of Jamaica, feeling the trade winds blow across our faces. So whether you're pretending you're on your veranda, on the beach, in a hammock, or wherever, we ask you to come to the backyard and just chill with us and remember those wonderful days, whether you spent your vacation there or you grew up there like I did. And I want to really ask you to think about, if you're from Jamaica, think about a name of some place that you heard about while you were there, if you visited, that was really sort of strange, a strange or unusual name. Because that's what we're going to be exploring this evening, the different names of our beautiful island. As diverse as the culture is, so is the names of our little nook and crannies. So if you love to wander across the island, perhaps you might have come upon some of these unusual names. So we're going to talk about those this evening, and I'm going to be asking the callers on the board or listening online to let us know if any of these ring a bell for you, or if perhaps some that we don't talk about, you might know that you can tell us about. Because there's so many fascinating little stories about our beautiful island and our culture that we, at least me, an older Jamaica or mature Jamaican who have been away from the island a very long time but have fond memories of growing up there. So if you have a special name you want to talk to us about, do give us a call or put up your hands if you are on the board. Now, I'm a little raspy this evening because it's getting cold in my city, and perhaps I wasn't dressed properly or something, but I feel a little tickle in my throat. So if I'm sounding sort of sexy, you know why. But what we do here each week in the backyard, we just labrish about something hopefully interesting, not just to me, but to the rest of my fans. And we're always asking you to let us know what you would like us to talk about. So So for our visitors who might not know what a labrish is when we get together, people of like minds get together and talk about, discuss a subject. And we've been finding a lot of interesting subjects to talk about. So tonight, through the work of Dr. Rebecca Tortella, who's a historian, and has put together some wonderful articles on pieces of the past, which is published by the Gleaner Company. And actually, there's a book out of these collections, but you definitely can access several of the stories that we bring to life here in the backyard. They're all online because we live in such a wonderful period where just about anything we want to know is at our fingertips. So here we go, and I expect to see some hands because some of these names I never heard of because I didn't travel much when I was growing up there. It was Kingston to Westmoreland, Savannah Lamar, Sav Lamar as we called it, or that was just about the place. Or I would pass through several other places on my way down. But a lot of these are very new to me. So here I go with the article from Pieces of the Past. From Above Rocks in St. Catherine to Zasur Hill, Manchester, Jamaica has an intriguing mixture of place names that reflect its history and character. The island's name itself is believed to pay homage to a particular historic period, the Taino period. Jamaica is said to mean land of wood and water in Arawakian, the language of the Tainos. So Jamaica's place names can be straightforward, reflecting outstanding features of the natural landscape, like Above Rocks, St. Catherine, or they can be historic, often either recalling events that took place or famous people who lived in an area, like Kodjo Town. Many places are named after original landowners. Nashville, Manchester, first owned by George Nash. Others reflect a sense of religion, examples Mount Zion, St. Thomas, or one of nostalgia for the places of origin of many different immigrants, willing or unwilling to Jamaica. For example, Kingston from Kingstown is a popular name found throughout the former British Empire. Ocheria St. Anne, which means eight rivers, reflects Spanish influence. So all over the island we have these wonderful, unusual names, as they are, I suppose. I know here in the South we have a lot of that too. But since here in Jamaica, I'm going away from the article now, I call these my sidebars, and I always, you know, have to put in my two cents, as I call them, to make everything more sort of interesting to me or to sort of make up my own stories. So I would like for you, if you want to make up your story or to tell your story about a particular place or something that relates to this article, please hit one on your telephone so I'll know you want to join the Labrish. And I see we have callers from 973-8718. 404-301-305. We have callers from all over, so whenever you're ready, identify yourself. As I mentioned before, I know all these articles are online, but, you know, people are so busy with their lives that sometimes they don't have time to go and read about them. So I just get so much pleasure as I call it bringing these stories alive for you, and I hope that you are enjoying them. So I might be a little muffled tonight because my throat is really getting tight on me. So bear with me while I fumble through these wonderful simple names that bring back, some of them will bring back some memories to people who might have traveled through or even grew up around or in some of these towns. So please let me know. Sometimes it gets lonely out here in the backyard, so I know you're there. So always let me know by putting up one, hitting your telephone, hitting one on your telephone, so I can see that you want to be heard. So let me go back to the article. Okay, where was I? Now let's talk about Denby Clarendon is named after a place in North Wales. And Wydad, W-H-Y-D-A-D, never heard of that, St. Catherine, is said to be named after a West African village. Still other place names reflect a sense of matter-of-factness. Example, Shaykhan Market, Portland, a square named for its use as a meeting place. Some also reflect a sense of whimsy, such as Tracy, St. Anne, a post-emancipation name inspired by the idea of having former slaves who received land to try and see what could be done. Bamboo Town, St. Elizabeth, because it has the presence of bamboo trees. Cedar Valley, Trelawney, cedar trees once said to have grown there. Cinnamon Hill, near Rose Hall, St. James. Cinnamon trees once said to have grown there. In the 1800s, Cinnamon Hill was owned by the Barretts, relatives of famed English poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And for those of the for the people in literature or lovers of poetry, you will know that she was quite famous. Not only was she famous, but well, her name, her husband was also famous. And I did a little research on her that I'll share with you later on. But let me go with the article. It's really interesting. Because when we research people from the past, you know, there's so many famous people that go way back that either originated from or spent some time in Jamaica and was influenced in somehow by being there or left there mark on the island somehow. So a lot of times as individuals, we don't really think in the moment that we're making a difference to someone and some place. But as I research these historical events, I realize how each of us have our uniqueness that we bring to the people around us and the place that we are at any time in history. So I'm saying that to say that I am encouraging here Jamaicans, but really everybody, to know how important they are on the planet at this particular time, and it is important to leave your mark in some way. And here in the backyard, we encourage you to let your voice be heard and let your opinion be heard by someone by joining us in the Labrish. So I'm hoping that I will, you know, motivate some people, especially the seniors, to express themselves in some way. And, of course, we'd love for you to have it done with us so that you can make the show more interesting, perhaps, and you can leave your mark, because a lot of people come to listen to the show, long after it's done, when it's posted. And you would be surprised that something you said they can relate to. Or, you know, you just never know. My hope is that somehow the younger generation will find some nuggets of wisdom in what we have been doing here in the backyard these past 2 years that will inspire them in some way or motivate them in some way, especially to take pride in themselves as humans and especially to take pride in themselves and their country as Jamaicans. So back to the, that was a sidebar incidentally. So I'm going back to Dr. Tortella's articles. And the rest of it mostly she will be sharing with us the names of the town and how, perhaps how and why they're named what they're named. And I just find it very intriguing that, you know, as she said, some of them are so whimsical, just on a whim, they name that particular part of the island that particular name because of some, what would seem at the time silly or irrelevant reason. But it certainly made a difference. And I also wonder sometimes if the people living there now have a clue as to how that district or town got its name. I know I didn't when I was growing up, but as we get older, you know, we get interested in certain things. So let me go back to some of these I'm quite familiar with, but others I never heard of. Now, there is Bath in St. Thomas that's named after its natural mineral bath. And we did a show on I think it was last year, which was Discover Jamaica, one parish at a time. And I remember when we did St. Thomas, we really got some information as to how very special the makeup of the water there and how there's no other place in the world where the minerals and the chemical makeup of the water is the same as it is in at Bath, St. Thomas. Now, there's also Black Hill, Portland, the site of an extinct volcano. There's Bullhead, Clarendon, the bullhead shape of the 36,000-feet mountain that stands as the parish's highest point. There's Canoe Valley in St. Elizabeth. Many years canoes were made from the trees there. Cockpit Country, St. Elizabeth, large limestone craters or pits found in the area. There's Dolphin's Head in Hanover. When looked at from east to west, the 1,789-feet mountain resembles a dolphin's head, face, and fins. Huh. I wonder if anybody on the board ever saw that. I never did. I don't remember passing through Hanover anyhow. There's Fat Hog Quarter, Hanover. Large number of hogs that used to populate the area. Fern Gully, of course we know, St. Anne, for its large number of ferns found there, an amount said to be more than anywhere else in the world. Gold Mine Clarendon, the Spanish are said to have washed gold there. Halfway Tree St. Andrew is said to have been named after a large cotton tree that stood there prior to the 1650s. English conquest. The tree marked the halfway point between Greenwich, St. Andrew, a soldier base, to a fort in Spanish Town. So it was more or less because of the location why it was named Halfway Tree. That's a very popular place in St. Andrew that every Jamaican knows. So now we know why it was called St. Halfway Tree.
Huh.
Wait a bit, Trelawney. The presence of the wait a bit thorn, believed to have been brought to Jamaica by West African slaves. As a result of its hardness, in Africa it was often used as hedges against wild animals. So that's the reason for wait a bit. Now, some names are historical events and people, like Arawak St. Anne, named because of Arawak remains found there. August Town, St. Andrew, the timing of full freedom for slaves, which was August 1838. And Bloody Bay, St. James, the killing of whales there. I didn't even know we had whales there. Now, Bull Bay, St. Thomas, once known as Cow Bay, is testament to the nation's, to the island's connection to the time when buccaneers roamed the island hunting for wild cattle. Now, Catherine's Peak, Portland, named for Catherine Long, the wife of famed pirate turned governor, Sir Henry Morgan, and the sister of well-known Jamaican historian Edward Long. She's believed to have been the first woman to scale the 50 feet high peak. Can you imagine a woman scaling that height in those days when they wore all those long skirts and all the clothes under it? Wow, that's something else. So that's Catherine's Peak, Portland. Now, Independence City, St. Catherine, Jamaica's 1962 independence from Britain. That's fairly new. Now, Irish Town, St. Andrew, originally settled by the Irish. Mandeville, Manchester, named for the title of the Duke of Manchester's eldest son, William, while the parish itself is named after the Duke, who served as governor of Jamaica from 1813 to 1821. Now, Miranda Hill, St. James, was the former Spanish governor's, his name, Alonso de Miranda. Montego Bay, St. James, has two possible origins. One has it named for the fact that the Spanish slaughtered many hogs there and loaded lard in jars to ship to Colombia. The Spanish word for lard is Nantega, N-A-N-T-E-J-A, or Nantega. The other origin is said to have been, it has its name after Montego de Santa Monica, an early Spanish colonizer. So there, sometimes, you know, it's not the, in history when you don't have proper documentation, you have to gather your information from here and there. So sometimes there were two versions for that name, I suppose, Montego Bay, St. James. Now, Nun's Pen, St. Andrew, first owned by Haitian Henry Diagin, whose daughters decided to become nuns and led to his willing his land to the Catholic Church. Huh, that's interesting. I wonder if anybody on the board ever heard of Nun's Pen, St. Andrew. That was close to Kingston. I don't remember hearing about it. Anyway, it was a Haitian person who willed his land because of his daughters becoming nuns. Interesting. Victoria Town, Manchester, is named after Queen Victoria. Yallas, St. Thomas, Captain Yalas, a privateer who frequented the area in the 1670s, or it could simply come from the word Yalos, meaning frost, because the cliff in that area has been thought to give an appearance of frost. Now, from what I'm gathering, Dr. Tortello, you know, accumulate this information from all over, whatever sources can be verified. So sometimes it's difficult. And that's why it's important right now. We're so blessed to be living in an age where we have the internet, where you can almost find out anything you want to know. So again, I encourage the seniors to, you know, leave some documentation about their lives. Because I know as I mature, I know there are so many things that my children really don't know about my life. Because, you know, you never discuss certain details with your children, do you? I mean, they're perhaps your friends know, and if they're your age, possibly they'll be going before or shortly after you. So it is so important to, as mothers and fathers, to leave some history for our next of kin, the younger generation, because this way they don't really have to try to put the information together, but they'll get it from you personally. Even after you're gone, it will be here in cyberspace so that they can access it. So I encourage you, if you know of any seniors with a story that might be interesting to the world, because a lot of people all over the world seem to be interested in Jamaica's culture, because they're certainly listening to the shows after they're archived. And I want to thank all our listeners that might be helping to do this by sharing the links with their friends as we do a show, or, you know, coming back to listen to a show they might think they have an interest in if they're not able to listen on a Wednesday evening when we're here at 8 o'clock. So at this time, I want to take a break and remind our listeners that you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, and this segment is called Backyard Labrish, and we are here each week on a Wednesday to we get together and talk about something of interest as it relates to Jamaica, because we're here to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So let's go back to the article of What's in a Name. That's the title of the article that I am bringing to life tonight. All the wonderful, unusual, whimsical, strange-sounding names that are found in villages and towns all over Jamaica. And tonight we're getting a little insight as to what and who may have inspired the names. So let's go back to Admiral Mountain, which is near Newcastle. It was used by British Admiral Lord Nelson as his country residence while stationed in Jamaica at what is now known as Fort Charles. And he was there from 1777 to 1779. Now, Appleton Estates, I think everybody knows that one, in St. Elizabeth, is named after its original owner, James Appleton. And almost every Jamaican know Appleton, perhaps not James, but they know the one in the bottle. So I have to be funny sometimes, or try to be. So I'm waiting for a hand to go up to laugh with me. Now let's go to Bannister Bay in St. Thomas. Must be Colonel Bannister, governor of Suriname, who brought English and Jewish colonist from Suriname in 1667. Now you know why we are so diversified as a culture, because there are so many different people from different backgrounds who one time or the other was part of Jamaican, you know, the fabric of the island. Because here in 1667, this colonel brought English and Jewish colonists from Suriname in 1667. Wow. Now, Bowdoin St. Thomas, William Bowdoin, one of Lord Chancellor Oliver Cromwell's first 500 settlers in 1656. Now, Carlisle Bay, Carlisle Bay in Clarendon, the Earl, a governor of Jamaica from 1678 to 1680. It is known for being the site of the first major battle following British occupation of Jamaica when Captain Ducasse of Santo Domingo attacked the island in 1694 and was defeated. Duncan Trelawney, originally a property owned by Peter Duncan in 1784. Falmouth Trelawney, Sir William Trelawney, governor of Jamaica from 1767 to 1771, after the place in England from which he came. So not only did he come from there, he decided to leave his mark on that part of the island. Now, Grantspan, St. Andrew, Sir John Peter Grant, said to have been one of Jamaica's first competent governors from 1866 to 1874. I suppose even then they had incompetent governors, because he's mentioned as one of the competent ones. Now, Guy's Hill, St. Catherine, first owner was Richard Guy, said to have taken part in the 1655 Penn and Venable expedition that captured Jamaica from the English. I remember that from my English lessons in school. So I'm sure that some of our history buffs perhaps will remember that Penn and Venable seemed at the time boring history that we had to be learning. Okay, Heron's Hill, Manchester. Alexander George Heron owned the estate of Williamsfield. I remember that name. Shooter's Hill and Wigton. His wish was to be buried at the top of Heron's Hill, so that he could remain in sight of his estates. Can you imagine? He thinks that even after he was dead, he could see over his holdings. Wow. See, you can't take it with you. I'm sure the people living in Heron's Hill know. Don't have a clue. Anyway, Joe's Hut in Trelawney, spelled J-O-E, apostrophe S, Hut, Trelawney, named after its first settler, a man called Joe, who built a hut. That's quite whimsical. Now, Longville, Clarendon. Samuel Long, who arrived with the Penn and Venables in 1655 exhibition, its original owner, Long was appointed Speaker of the House of Assembly and later Chief Justice. May Penn, Clarendon, once part of an area of land owned by the Reverend William May, who came to Jamaica as rector of the Kingston Parish Church in the 18th century and was then transferred to Clarendon. Rose Hall, St. James. Rose Kelly, the first mistress of the infamous estate. Sanguinetti Clarendon, first owned by Jacob Sanguinetti, an Italian Jew. Temple Hall, St. Andrew, first owner, Thomas Temple. Temple Hall is where Sir Nicholas Laws, governor of Jamaica from 1718 to 1722, was named Temper's, who married Temper's daughter in 1698, introduced the cultivation of coffee to the island in the 1700s. And we did a show on coffee, so I'm so sure we mentioned that man, but didn't know that Temple Hall was named after him, and that is in St. Andrew, too. Now, here's some that are nostalgic. Aberdeen, St. Elizabeth, an area in Scotland where owner Alexander Forbes came from. Ballyholly, B-A-L-L-Y-H-O-L-L-Y, Mandeville, named after a place in Ireland. Bangor Ridge, Portland, named after Bangor, Wales. Benigal, on the border of St. Anne and Trelawney, after a region in India. Berlin, near Monroe College in St. Elizabeth, was named after the German capital, home city to its first owner, James Barenheim, B-L-E-I-N-H-E-I-N. So we had people from all over the world naming parts of Jamaica. Interesting. Calabar, St. Anne, the name of a place in southeastern Nigeria from which many slaves came. Goshen, St. Elizabeth, was named after a place in Egypt, listed in the Bible as meaning the best of the land. In Jamaica, it was first used as a church site. Isn't that interesting? L-I-T-I-T-Z, Litz, I don't know how to pronounce that. St. Elizabeth, is there anyone on the board from that place? L-I-T-I-T-Z. That name was found also in Moravia, possibly used by Moravian missionaries to name a church there in 1754. Landover, St. Anne, which is in Lianrumney, Lane Rummy, St. Mary, once owned by Sir Henry Morgan. Now, Lian means holy place in Welsh, and Morgan was Welsh, and both are place names found in Wales. Madras, M-A-D-R-A-S, St. Anne, is named after a region in India, a reminder of the number of indentured East Indians who came to Jamaica in the mid-19th century to work on the sugar estates. And we did a show on the people who came, the different people who came, and when they came. And people who are interested in our history can go back in our archives and perhaps find that show. I'm sure we mentioned that place. Newmarket, St. Elizabeth, that's a popular name that I remember. Newmarket in England, as is Newcastle, in the Blue Mountain Ridge, named after the English Newcastle on Rhine. Now, Roxborough, Manchester, is the birthplace of national hero, the Right Honorable Norman Manley, who is Scottish. Sangster's Heights in St. Elizabeth, Sir Donald Sangster, Jamaica's second prime minister. Stony Hill, St. Andrew, was named the name of an old house in Scotland. And house, I think, refers to a body of people in those days. Vauxhall, St. Elizabeth, was named after a popular tavern in London. Boy, we have some history. Bear with me here. Wairua, St. Andrew, and it comes from New Zealand and means place by the river. Huh. Yatanside, Yatanside, in Portland, is named after a place in Wales. Its first owner, William Espoot, also owned Spring Garden Estate in Portland, where he was believed to begin breeding mongoose imported from India to kill rats on the sugar plantation. Gosh, this is interesting. Now we're ready for the whimsical and not-so-whimsical names. And at this time, I would like to, invite the listeners that might be listening online on their computers, that I must apologize, I'm not able to interact with you in a chat room, because I'm really a senior citizen that can't do two things at the same time. So now I'm busy reading and talking. So if you want to talk to me, you have to dial in so we can open up the board and labrish with you. And I see the board is really flashing tonight, so a lot of people are interested and intrigued by these various names. So let me go back to the whimsical and not so whimsical names that are found all over Jamaica, land we love. So Corn Post Gap in St. Thomas. Oh, this one is sort of a little weird. Listen to this. It was named for the actions of hikers who, lost in the hills, caught a cat, corned it, and ate it. Oh, my gosh. I wonder if those people living there know that. Can you imagine? Well, I suppose when you're hungry, you eat anything. But at least they corned it first. I wonder what they got to corn it. What the heck was that? Huh. Far enough, Clarendon, comes from the phrase, far enough from courts and kings. And it was credited to a Scotsman who wanted to be very far from courts and kings. I suppose they were too bourgeois for him. So he named the part of Clarendon that he was far enough. Huh. Now, this one is Flog Man, F-L-O-G, Man, Manchester. Flogging as a method of punishment was netted out there. So when you were going to be whipped, you would go to Flog Man, Manchester. Now, Friendship, Westmoreland, was the site of a Scottish Missionary Society conference in 1837. Grateful Hill, St. Catherine, Baptist missionaries in gratitude for having been granted land by an English squire to establish a church. So they called the place Grateful Hill. I no call you, no come. I no call you, no come, St. Elizabeth, comes from the maroon policy of maintaining a comfortable distance from those outside cockpit country. Anyone ever heard of I no call you, no come? Please let us know. Judgment Cliff in St. Thomas was the burial of the house of an evil Dutchman after the 1692 earthquake.
Judgment Clift.
Labor in vain, Savannah Lamar. No, I'm sorry. Labor in vain, Savannah. That's the whole name of the district, I suppose, which is in St. Elizabeth. The annual drought said to afflict that area. And I remember when we were doing parts of St. Elizabeth, it talked about how there was one place, especially in the old rains, how things could never grow there. I remember that labor in vain place. It's a savanna that the weather is sort of really unusually dry. Lawrence Tavern, St. Andrew, was the name of a tavern that used to be located there. Aracabesa, St. Mary, comes from the Spanish for ara, meaning air or breeze, and of course meaning head, resulting in a phrase that could be read as fanciful. And my favorite, because that's where I used to go when I was growing up, which is Savannah Lamar, Westmoreland, and it's Spanish meaning plain by the sea. And that it was, very plain by the sea. Tan and Sea, Trelawney, T-A-N and C, and I know in American language, tan, that would mean going to sit on a sunbed or going to sit in the sun or perhaps putting on tanning lotion. But we Jamaicans know what tan and sea means, which would mean stand still. Stand still and see the salvation. So tan and sea for us means stop, stand up, stay still. So that is in Trelawney, and it means literally stand and see a beautiful view of open land. Wow. You know, they talk about us, but we were just to the point, you know, stand, stop and see. But, of course, in our patois language is tan and see. Unity St. James derives its name from the story of two brothers. The younger of the two asked the elder to borrow £1,000 in order to purchase land, and the elder refused, and their relationship deteriorated. Sunday came, and the two went to church, encountering a sermon on the importance of unity. The elder brother felt it was a sign and raised a loan to help his younger brother purchase the land. They named the land Unity. And as I read that, I thought that, you know, for the church-going people who go to church, even from way back then, people would go to church and feel that the minister was just preaching exclusively for them. And guess what, folks? It's happening now. People go to church, perhaps they don't go very often, but when they arrive there, there is that sermon just talking about them, which remind me, you know, the non-churchgoers, there's a song that one of the popular artists sing about this young man who was drumming her life on the guitar and singing her song. So I suppose in that case, that person, the illusion or the thought of whatever they were playing was really about her life. And just like those two brothers, I'm sure the minister didn't have a clue what was going on with them, but there he was talking about their life and their challenge, and they got the solution that they needed to unite and help each other. And as I like to do each week, is to connect something we did in the past to the now. Because whether we lived, I mean, just like the people who lived way before us in 16 this and 17 that, that we're being intrigued with now as we chill and research our history, there's so many lessons that we can find that really tell how much alike we are as humans, just inhabitants of the planet. And whether they were rich or poor, black or white, oppressors or the oppressed, there is just so much likeness in all of us. And it brings to mind how, you know, even now we have to really stop and think and know that, number one, we're here for a special purpose. We have something to contribute, and we would want to be remembered for something positive. So here in the backyard, I'm always trying to bring positive and whimsical and funny sometimes and intriguing sometimes things about the past that we might not have heard before. Most of these are online because all of our wonderful historians are making sure they're using the latest technology to document this. Some of what I do sometimes is from an encyclopedia on Jamaican heritage that I was gifted. I'm sure that is available online too. But all of these wonderful stories just bring us right back to now. And I encourage each of you to hopefully take something from the stories that I try to bring alive and see how it relates to your life and how you can do something or add something to somebody else's life. And I'm always an advocate for the younger generation because a lot of times we, the more matured, and in my case, the senior, would think that, you know, we can't do much for the young folks because they seem to, you know, want to have their own way and they're not listening. But I remember being the same way, perhaps, when I was their ages and not really paying too much attention to what my mother was talking about. I remember several times when she wanted to share things with me, but I was too busy, didn't have time, would listen to it another time, would, you know, could not make time at the time. But now, I sometimes wish I had listened because, unlike me, she did not have a medium of leaving the information. And if she even did, I had a house fire. So everything went up in smoke. So now we have a chance to leave a legacy for the next generation. And even if you don't leave it, you know, documented as I'm suggested, but do something for someone else that they can remember and help in any way you can to make somebody's life better, make your community better, you know, share something of interest that someone else can benefit from. So with that said, I'm going to open up the board. That is the end of Dr. Tortella's wonderful documentation of all these names. And I'm sure there are lots of names that you might know that we have not covered. So if you'd like to join the Labrish and share some of this with us, feel free to put up your hand as if you're in school because I can see it on my keyboard. I see all you people there, way out there in Savage Place. I don't even know these numbers. And I'd like to ask you to join the Labrish. So do I have any takers? We have a few minutes left on our time. I'm waiting for a hand. So help me out here, folks. Let me know. Oh, yes, that's what I'm talking about. I think it's 718-379. And the mic is open. This is Margaret in the backyard, chilling out, feeling the breeze across my face. Who am I speaking to and where are you?
Well, this is Lay in the Bronx, feeling chilly here.
Ooh, well, just pretend it's a balmy evening on the veranda.
Okay.
Welcome, Mr. Lay from the Bronx. I noticed it's not followed by...
No, the baseball season is over.
Okay, all righty, got it. What would you like to share with us this
evening? Well, in your promo, you mentioned two of the names of places above rocks in St. Prince and the Zuazir Hills in Manchester. Now, above rocks, I know about, but the Zuazir Hill, I don't know anything about. Do you?
No. Most of these places I never heard of. Some of them around St. Andrew and all of it, I did.
I
never heard of some of the names that she mentioned.
And she didn't mention anything about it in her, in her dialogue there that you were reading.
You mean why those two places were named that?
Maybe an explanation of the Zuazir Hills.
Right.
It
sounded very foreign. That I'm sure it came from some foreign country.
Well, it sounded like maybe I think she alluded to it. It came from the Taino Indians derivation.
Right.
But that's all she said. I don't know of the place. And I'm curious.
Well, I don't know if any of the callers on the board, but are there any names that you were familiar with and any that she didn't mention that you know?
Oh, yes. There are quite a few of them that I've either visited or passed as you go along the countryside, especially those in Trelawney. That you mentioned are very familiar.
But I always wonder when, as I research these stories, if the people that live there or, grew up there have a clue as to why or even care, really. Because when I was growing up, those things were not important at the time.
To most of them,
why it was named, or even that the name was strange.
Yeah, to most of them, it's just a name. I went up into some areas there, and the names I just busted out laughing, and the people thought I was nuts. But it was the name that was so peculiar, peculiar sounding. And,
right.
It's just second nature to them. That's where they live. That's where they tell you to go. And especially if they're going to give you directions to go into one of these funny name places, you think that they're making fun, but it's actually the name of the place. All along I've been trying to remember a place up in Stonehill that I got lost to. And ended up into, but it was the funniest sounding name. And
do you remember any part of it?
No, it was just one, like you would say Moko, which is a place. But this is another place, similar in connotation. I mean, it's whimsical, as you would say.
No, I always honestly. Honestly, I'm being honest now. I never realized Moko was a place until I did a show with Annette Scott, who actually lived in Moko. Because when I was growing up in Kingston and someone say, you must have come from Moko, it was almost like a cut down because you weren't very smart. But, I thought it was just a phrase.
Well, I thought so until I had a gardener that I was asked me for a ride to Kingston from coming from Trelawney, and he lived in Mucko.
Okay.
That was my first, you know, as I said, these names sound whimsical and funny, and you don't really think they exist, but this time I realized, having heard what you just said all my life, you must have come from Mucko. The guy lived there, and he was quite intelligent.
Right. Well, you wonder how something like that got started, because you know it, most Jamaicans know it, and I don't know how it actually got started. I mean, something must have started it, or someone,
well,
as it
referred
to there.
Yeah,
and
well,
what I'm getting to with this, where I'm going with this, as we'd say, is that, you know, one person can start saying something, and then it catches on, and it catches on, and it catches on, because it could be just a conversation with someone between two people, you know what I mean, who one perhaps thought the other one didn't understand or wasn't smart enough or something, and decided that people from Mucko was not very smart. So then the phrase started, if you didn't understand or you didn't measure up, then you must have come from Mucko. But that is just my take on it, anyhow. You know, are you still there? Your mic seemed to have gone off. Let me open it back. Are you there? Lay? Hello? Are you there? 973? Okay, well, I must have lost that caller. But I want to thank all my listeners on the board. We've used up our R already. I see, 718 is calling in. I don't, let me open the mic here.
Yes, I...
I lost you somehow.
I lost you. My fingers hit the wrong button.
I got
there.
You. All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry, were you asking or making a comment?
No, well, I was just saying how I wondered ever since I knew it was a place and actually interviewed someone who was there, and you mentioned that people from there are not necessarily, you know, not smart.
Yeah.
I am just saying I always wonder sometimes when you hear these things how they got started.
Yeah, well, you know, even from this article, you could see some of the names, how they got started. Some of them may just have been a colloquialism, you know, a name put out, and somebody say, hey, well, maybe this is a good name for where we live. We just it catches on as you go along. They keep calling it the same thing. Who knows, you know?
Right, right. Well, actually, I was talking in terms of the come from Mucko phrase, you know, that you're not very smart or you're...
Even the sounding of that doesn't sound very cool. You know, I mean, it sounds like...
Mucko sounds like a whole lot of thick stuff.
Yeah.
It would be thick and you can't get through muck. That's what
right.
I'm referring to. Muck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
you know, as a people and as a culture, we've always been very lighthearted and and can laugh at ourselves. And I think, excuse me, that is, you know, a good thing when you can laugh at yourself and just not take everything as a burden. And I think that culturally, Jamaicans are well noted for that. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Definitely. So I would like to ask the listeners on the board to leave us a note, visit backyardlabrish.com, and give us some ideas of what you'd like us to labrish about, because I love to do the research and come up with something interesting, but it would be always... perhaps more interesting if I could get someone to give me an interesting story or introduce me to someone who has a story that relates to the culture or
some achievement or something, nugget of wisdom that younger folks can use, something we can celebrate and will be enlightening to the people who love history or love to know about other cultures and things we want to retain. There are several outlets for the current events and what's happening now, and that's not what we do when we get together on a Wednesday to lavish in the backyard. We just have this hour where we just chill and no problem, man, as the noted phrase in Jamaica would denounce.
No problem, man.
No problem, man. And whether you're talking to a man or a woman, it's no problem, man. I see a hand from a Skyper. How cool is that? And I'm going to open up the mic in a nanosecond. Good evening, Skyper. This is Margaret Marshall in the backyard, just chilling. Who do I have?
Is it? Are you calling me a Skyper? Is it I?
Yes, I'm talking to the Skyper because I see all ones, and I know that's Skype.
Well, I don't have Skype. I don't know why I came in looking as a Skyper. I just wanted to say something about Nonspan.
Okay. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Bessie Jean.
Oh, BJ!
BJ,
and
yes.
What city are you calling from?
Silver Spring, Maryland.
Oh, welcome to the backyard.
Thank you, Margaret. It's so nice. I was listening to you, but I was doing all sorts of things. Nonspan. Okay, in 1857, some Franciscan sisters came to Jamaica in order to open up a Catholic boarding school and for girls.
Uh-huh.
When they got there, they tried to get other nuns to come from Scotland, but they couldn't seem to get any. And so they got these two local sisters, Daquin, I think were their names, and they brought as their dowry the property that was known as Nonspan.
Huh.
Now, Immaculate Conception High School is what is there now as that. And the nuns subsequently got the Constant Spring Hotel as the school later on. It was given to them, you know. Sometimes they say so much prayers, the nuns, and they get these things, and you try to figure out how in the world did they get that, however they did, be that as it may. However, I do think, and I'm not sure, that Nonspan may be where the Ozanam home for the aged is now. I could be wrong. But I think that maybe that is what, that is where that could be, because I remember hearing them still talk about Nonspan. And 2 years ago when I was in Jamaica and I stayed with the nuns, I don't know how they put up with me, but that is neither here nor there. I had nowhere else to stay. I had to stay with them. I remember we visited the Ozanam home for the aged, and I do believe that that is what they call Nonspan. Of course, this goes back to the, 1800s, so... And, of course, it's possible. Yes, it's 1857. That much I know because I was there at the 150th anniversary celebrations. That's how I kind of know.
Wow.
Yes.
For Immaculate Conception. So are they still nuns from that order that is still there doing that?
Yes. Well,
The Franciscan
sisters, of course, they don't dress like that anymore with the habits and what they used to there in their regular clothes. And Sister Davidica, she was the principal when I went to school there, and Sister Maureen Clare. But that's what I have to say on Nonspan. And there was also something else, too, someone would say to you, they don't think you're too bright. They say you must come from Kobe to be sure. I heard one of your talking about Mocha, but it used to be
yes.
Kobe. And then the next,
Kobe
the other one was March. Bacawal. You must come from Bacawal, man.
Yes, that is when you, I suppose, either you behave badly or you're still, you're not very smart. You're from
right.
Bacawal?
Yeah.
I remember.
I'm
remember the Bacawal
sure.
thing, but I think it's like when you're behaving badly. Then
you
come from Bacawal.
You don't remember Kobe? You don't remember Kobe?
No, I don't remember that. Do you,
Lee?
Oh,
boy.
No, I don't, but I find that nuns spend very interesting. It coincides with one of the historical events comments that was made previously.
Right, and we had done something on Immaculate Conception at one time, you know, how it got started and all of that. And those shows are in the archives. We've done a show every week for two years and 2 months, so we have lots of things that we covered. But it's interesting, BJ, how, you know, there's so much still that we can talk about that we didn't know.
Yes,
because
I did not listen at the time when you were talking about Immaculate Conception, because I could have told you about them then. But I'm sure you have all that information. You got all that information, the fire and all those
Right. We did.
Yeah.
We did a whole show on that at one time. But did you hear wasn't the Bacawal story more or less something like if someone didn't know something or if you didn't think they were smart?
Yes. If they haven't heard, you know, you're saying, well, did you hear so-and-so, and they said, no, and said, man, you come from Bacawal.
So tell me about the Kobe one, because that one is when you're smart.
That was also one, too, you know. You must, the Kobe to be sure, you know, or you'd say to a friend.
Oh, Kobe to
say,
be sure. I
Kobe
got you.
To be sure. Come, that means that, oh, they don't know what they're talking about.
I never heard that one. That one is totally new to me.
Well, I have a whole lot of them, Margaret. We'd be here all night, and I don't think we have the time.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up mostly in Kingston and St. Andrew, Constance Spring area.
Uh-huh.
And I did go to Above Rocks for holidays. And there was, I'm trying to remember the name of the property, but not for the life of me can I remember what the name was. I'd get awake 3 o'clock in the morning and remember it. I just can't remember what the name was. And it had a lovely stream running through the property. And I'd go and turn the rocks over. And the water was so nice and cool. And there was the crayfish under the rocks. And
right.
It was a lovely property. And I just can't remember the name of it. I was very young then. I was 8 or 9 or 10. You know, and that was over 60, almost 70 years ago.
Oh, tell me about it. I'm in that range, too.
Yeah,
and
I think
so
we're the
is
same
our
age.
We're a listener from the Bronx.
Hey.
Yes.
Oh, well.
Who are you talking to, me or your host? Yes.
Both.
Yes, sir?
Yeah, we're in that same age group.
Oh, we are. Oh, well, welcome to the club.
What club is that?
Sign and sealed. Say no more.
The 3 score and 10 plus club.
Oh my goodness! But isn't it wonderful that we are gifted with even the memories that we have? I think it's really, really, especially in the time that we're living now, where we have mediums like this that we can share.
Yes.
BJ, I just want to thank you for all your support because I know you send me so much wonderful material in the email, which I send, and I encourage our listeners on the board, you know, to be part of the group and participate. So I want to take this opportunity to let the listeners know how much you have contributed in your own way from where you are. Your corner of the world now where you are established, but all of us, no matter where we are now, we still have fun memories of Jamaica when we were there.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, we certainly do.
Okay. So with that said, I want to thank all the listeners on the board. I see all the lights going up and down. We're sort of flashing a little tonight. But we have listeners calling in from 973-631-718. And I don't know why, BJ, you're appearing as a Skyper. All ones on your phone, on your numbers.
Nice. That's okay.
Yes.
At least I can remain anonymous.
Right. But it's so wonderful to hear your voice.
Yeah.
And I hope you're enjoying the shows. I know that you're passing them around. And I want to thank all our supporters that are passing the links around because our numbers are really increasing. People are listening to the shows. So it means that we're all contributing in some way.
Yeah, and
so
we do thank you, Margaret. We do thank you for taking on this tremendous job of doing this because somebody should have thought of this before. And
it's my pleasure. I'm really having a lot of fun with it.
Good, good. I'm
and,
glad.
You know, it really keeps me involved.
Yes.
And they say as you mature nowadays, you know, you have to do things that forces the brain to work.
Yes.
So
yes.
That we can stay young and vibrant as much as we can.
Of
so
course. Sure.
My pleasure to do it. And I really enjoy the support of everyone that calls in each week and encourage you to tell your friends about the show and to let me know what you'd like to hear. So, Mr. Lay, did you want to say something?
No, I would say good night and have a good week.
Well, thank you very much. And, BJ, I am so grateful. I am happy that you joined us tonight and hope that you will come often.
I will try.
Okay, thank you.
I run around a lot, you know, and I'm never always close on a Wednesday night, but whenever I am, I promise you I will. And I hope everybody else will, too.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay,
Margaret,
have a good week.
And send us a suggestion when you can of what you'd like to hear, and that goes for everyone who's calling in or is listening on their computer. So with that said, I'm famous little ending, which is make it a great week, and I hope to see you next week. So bring some friends and let's hang out in the backyard where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica. All together now,
land
we
love.
Okay.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Did your food burn?
Oh, it did a little bit, but it was still edible.